WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Stanton will be the site of a new medical cannabis dispensary next year. Amidst the fight in Richmond over gerrymandering, the question remains, couldn't we just hand redistricting over to a computer? And it's not called the Potter Party anymore, but it's still the same magical festival of brooms and owls and wizards in Stanton. This weekend, we'll have a preview. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, September 27th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the Shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Stanton will be the site of a new medical cannabis dispensary next year, according to the newsleader. The paper reports that Illinois-based PharmaCann, a medical cannabis company, will open a facility in an industrial park in Stanton in early 2019. Out of 51 applicants, the Virginia Board of Pharmacy chose five companies as licensees to distribute medical cannabis in the state. Two of those companies are new businesses in Virginia. Three, including PharmaCann, are from out of state. Each company will serve one of five designated health service areas, or HSAs. HSA 1 is the service area for much of the Shenandoah Valley, the Blue Ridge, and the Charlottesville area. Each dispensary will sell CBD and THCA oils to patients who are registered with medical doctors authorized to recommend it. The companies will also open the state's first authorized marijuana growing facilities within a year, but dispensaries are only allowed to sell non-psychoactive oil to approved patients. Virginia's U.S. Senate candidates traded personal attacks in their second debate. Democratic Senator Tim Kaine and Republican challenger Corey Stewart faced off Wednesday in Northern Virginia. They picked up where they left off in their first debate in July. Stewart accused Kaine of being a knee-jerk opponent of President Donald Trump, who would rather oppose the president than help Virginia. Stewart also made unsubstantiated attacks that Kaine discriminates against Asians and has sought to cover up sexual harassment by members of Congress. Kaine said Stewart is running an angry campaign that belittles women and demonizes immigrants. Kaine is a favorite to win, and Virginia's Senate race has received relatively little national attention compared to more competitive races in other states. The University of Virginia spent nearly $500,000 on preparations for the anniversary of the August rallies. The Daily Progress reports that UVA's academic division, not including the medical center, spent about $423,000 for equipment, salaries, meals, lodging, and training. The costs reflect a trend of increased preparation by university police departments and college towns around the country ahead of planned free speech and alt-right events. On August 11th last year, white supremacists staged a nighttime torchlit march through UVA grounds. The next day, three people died, including counter-protester Heather Heyer. State lawmakers are in Richmond on Thursday to evaluate a new set of redistricting proposals. But can redistricting be done without people entirely? Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
Computers are smart. Can't they just draw district lines for us? Hannah Whelan is a data specialist with the Princeton Gerrymandering Project. She says, sure, computers can draw district lines. In fact, that's the way the process works. But behind the technology, there's always a human being plugging in the directions.
An algorithm might always have some of the developer's biases just built into it, even if we didn't realize that we put that into it.
Those biases come into play because the rules that govern map making are fuzzy. Sure, districts need to have the same number of people, that's clear cut, but they also have to keep communities together and not dilute minority voting power. These are problems that need human judgment to solve, says Whelan.
We might be able to code a computer to make those judgments, but then they can't explain how they made certain decisions.
And with district maps always under the judicial spotlight, those decisions are certain to be evaluated, and a person, lawmaker or programmer, will always be on the hook. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Finally today, it's a big weekend for Stanton as the third annual Queen City Mischief and Magic Festival gets underway on Friday. Originally known as a Potter Party before Warner Brothers cracked down, this mega wizardry fan event has taken on a life of its own. WMRA's Jesse Nadler has more.
Baja Bean Restaurant is a Stanton institution. Its owner is Sarah Lynch.
We opened in 98 and there was nothing going on really downtown. We were the only light on downtown after 9 o'clock at night because we've been open till 2 a.m. since we opened.
Sarah Lynch is also an insatiable reader and a big Harry Potter fan.
If I went to trivia, I don't know if I'd win, but it is so near and dear to my heart. Harry Potter came along when I was an adult. If I had read them when I was a child, I'm sure they would have been like Little House on the Prairie is for me.
It eventually dawned on her. Some Stanton businesses were kind of like those featured in the books. The tiny clock shop on West Beverly reminded Sarah of Grim Old Place. Baja Bean itself had sort of a Potter vibe to it.
Baja, the bar, was very easily seen as the Hogshead because it is a little seedy and there's some, you know, undercover dragon trading or whatever going on over there.
2 years ago, she contacted Pufferbelly's toy store and asked if they wanted to join her in hosting a Queen City Potter party. It was to coincide with the release of the latest Potter spinoff, The Cursed Child. Before she knew it, 10 Stanton shops wanted to be included. She put the word out on Facebook, and more than 5,000 wannabe wizards from across the country descended on Stanton.
Welcome to Queen City, mischief and magic.
The downtown transforms into a magical village. People show up as their favorite Potter characters. Kids experiment with wand crafting and wizard dueling. People drink butter beer.
It was this joy, you know, there was like just a sense of joy. Like if clouds could rain rainbows, I feel like that's how Stanton would have felt that day.
Sophia Barada is an actor with the American Shakespeare Company. She volunteered last year to help sort kids into the various houses at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin. Harry Potter was a member of Gryffindor. Slytherin is sort of known as the villain house.
I remember, like, really clearly, actually, this one kid who he got sorted into Slytherin, and at first he was, like, really excited, and he was like, I'm Slytherin, and then his siblings were making fun of him, and he almost started to cry. And so I was like, don't tease your brother for being in Slytherin. Slytherins have really ambitious people, you know. A lot of people are really smart that come out of there, and they go on to do really great things. So I listed a couple, like, good Slytherins so that he could be like, ha, I'm a Slytherin. And it was really sweet in the end, and I gave him a lollipop because I had one. So
Sarah Lynch's Potter Party became so popular with fans that Warner Brothers, which owns the film rights to the Harry Potter movie series, got wind of it and asked her to comply with their guidelines for events involving Potter. So 1 month before last year's event, she changed the name to the Queen City Mischief and Magic Festival. It's already taken on a life of its own. They expect this weekend's attendance to hit 10,000.
You can say, like, you can't be Harry Potter themed, and we can be like, okay, but we're going to have owls and brooms over here, and we're going to play this game that's kind of like Quidditch, but not exactly Quidditch.
There will still be wands and spells and potions and costumes. Lynch says everyone should dress up.
Come in their favorite costume. We've had owls and phoenix. We've had, you know, dragons, all kinds of creatures show up here. And just have your best day doing exactly what you want. And come as early as you can because there will be lines for things.
Crafting starts down in the wharf area at 10 a.m. For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
You can learn more about the events this weekend in Stanton, as well as the Harrisonburg International Festival happening this Saturday. And in Charlottesville, it's the Vegan Fest. Lots more about those events and others at WMRA.org. That's the podcast for today. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a magical Thursday.